dead on midday by my watch. So we'll make a start. Guys at the back. Thank you very much. Well, welcome everybody to this session, CDB211. My name is Richard Smith. I'm a solution architect with the client solutions team in Microsoft. You might tell by my accent, I'm from the UK. People often mistake it for Australian. I've learned to live with that. But I'm based in the UK. I work predominantly with Microsoft services, with customers doing deployment, big deployment-based projects. So my task here today is to talk to you a little bit about deployment, some of the basics, some of the things that are current recommended practice from the field that I work in. From the field, I mean Microsoft services field, engineering, and we'll talk a bit about deployment basics. We'll talk about image engineering processes. We'll talk about image deployment. Really, I'm focusing in on this session on using MDT to do image engineering and image deployment. We've got some labs this week that cover all this as well. So I'm kind of hoping to set the groundwork with you guys to go off and kind of experiment with this stuff and do some of the labs that we've got here this week around MDT and Config Manager deployment. It's a very demo-orientated session, so not a lot of slides, but we'll move in and out of them as we need to. So this is what I'm going to be covering through the next 75 minutes. And really the objectives of this session are to talk about deployment from the perspective of MDT 2012 how to use MDT 2012 to do image engineering tasks and image deployment tasks. We're not going to stray into the config manager world here, of configuration manager, a world of deployment. We're going to try and keep it simple. It's a 101 basics of deployment, so we're going to try and keep it within the MDT space. But if there's questions about that, then I'll happily take them, and we'll try and sort of also show you where MDT and Config Manager work together. We'll look at how to use MDT as an image engineering lab, but then also how to take the image that you engineer in that lab and deploy it with MDT 2012. And really the key takeaways from this are around how to set MDT 2012 up for a light touch deployment, both in a lab for image engineering and then for deployment to a number of machines in, say, a POC or a pilot deployment. So, you've seen this diagram before. It's kind of Microsoft's idea, our idea of a deployment solution, managed deployment solution. It's very much layered like a wedding cake. We start at the bottom with an operating system master image, and that can be the master image that's directly off the Windows 7 DVD, or it could be something that you engineer in an engineering lab, in an image engineering lab, that has your customizations in and your changes for your environment. Then we layer on top of that things like dynamic application of drivers during deployment. We layer on security configuration. We layer on enterprise applications of different layers, and then group policy to kind of configure settings and that kind of thing. So really the deployment is about a layering of things on top of each other. And really what we're going to cover today is the base layer and some of the other pieces at the bottom of this diagram around creating the image and then deploying the image. We'll also show you some of the changes in MDT 2012 that makes this a lot easier. So, deployment basics. Typically, when I work with customers doing big deployment projects, it usually falls into a number of tasks. So, it usually falls into building a reference image and a file. It usually then goes on to creating a bootable Windows PE media to boot the machine that we're going to build. Build and capturing that reference device with our customizations in. It might have a few applications installed. It might have a few drivers installed. It might have some customization to the branding. And then it's sys-prepped and captured. And then we take that image that we've engineered and we bolt it back in and we deploy it. So we need another answer file to do the deployment of that image. And we want to migrate user data and settings during that deployment. So, and then finally, we want to deploy the reference image to the machine. And we have a number of tools available in the toolkit to do this. So if you've ever seen the Windows Automated Installation Kit, a lot of the tools that you see down here in the orange boxes are tools that are provided with that kit. So you could do a Windows 7 deployment just using the kit, the Windows Automated Installation Kit. All the tools are in there. You've got the Windows System Image Manager for creating your own attend files, and also for creating a very basic deployment share that you can deploy from. You've got the Windows Automated Installation Kit providing you with a boot environment, the Windows PE boot environment. Then you've got DISM and ImageX as part of that toolkit as well for applying images to a device. And then building your answer file for deployment is the same kind of process, Windows System Image Manager for creating the unattend file. USMT is now part of the Windows Automated Installation Kit, so that can be used for migrating user settings and data during refreshes and replaces and that kind of thing. And then finally, deploying the reference image to a machine with DISM and image and or ImageX. So you have a toolkit available to do all this manually for creating an image, capturing it as an image, and then deploying it out to a machine. You can do it all manually. But actually what happens with MDT is MDT 2012 puts a wrapper around all of these tools for you and makes it much easier to create an image and deploy an image. We have the task sequence within MDT 2012, which is an engine for driving deployment tasks. And actually what MDT is doing is hiding you away from these command line utilities and tools that are part of the Windows Automated Installation Kit. So, let's show you a quick demo. So this is my build server that we're going to be popping into throughout the morning, afternoon. So when you install the Windows Automated Installation Kit, you get this kind of start menu folder. You get a command prompt. You get a link to the Windows System Image Manager and various other tools. A lot of them are kind of hidden away in the installation directories. But if you were to take a look at the Windows System Image Manager, this is a tool for creating an attend files. You basically point it at a Windows image, and it allows you to create an attend file for that Windows image. It also allows you to create a very simple distribution share for you to put things like drivers, and they can be applied during the installation of the operating system. So you've got a basic deployment mechanism built into the Windows Automated Installation Kit in the form of the Windows System Image Manager. And then you've got the command line tools such as DISM, ImageX, that can be used for image capture, image deployment, writing an image down onto a hard disk, capturing an image from a hard disk, and several other tools that are in the kit that you can use in a kind of manual way. But what MDT 2012 does is kind of puts this nice front-end wrapper around all of these tools, uses the tools to do the things that you need to do, but in a much more kind of automated, with a nice kind of GUI interface that makes life a little bit easier. So we're going to come back to this in a second to talk about how we use it to do image engineering. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about image engineering as a concept. So who thinks that we should be creating images? Put your hands up. Okay, but so by default, the rest of you think we shouldn't be creating images, right? It's a bit of a contentious topic, really. A lot of customers like the idea of not creating images anymore, of using the off-the-shelf vanilla Windows 7 image that comes on the DVD that we provide. And then, actually, when we start talking to them, we see that they do actually need a custom image. They need it because they don't want to wait for hotfixes to be installed during the deployment process. They don't want to wait for service packs to be installed during the deployment process. They don't want to wait for applications to be installed during the deployment process. And they want to make some changes to the branding or to the things that are incorporated into Windows 7. So we come to a point where they actually say, yeah, well, actually, we do need to create a custom image. It's not as custom as we used to do it, with all sorts of things in it, like Office and Acrobat and various other things. We'd like to keep the image as kind of thin as possible, but there's still often a requirement to create a custom image, and we use MDT to do that. So in the lab environment, we use MDT to create and build a custom machine. Current recommended practice is that we use a virtual machine to be the reference device. So we build a virtual machine as a reference device, we sysprep it and capture it. That means that we don't have any driver issues, we don't have any things we don't want in the image if we use a virtual machine as the reference device. And what that actually also means is you can build a very nice automated lab where you can press a button and MDT will, with certain PowerShell scripts, you could create a virtual machine in Hyper-V, build it, customize it, sysprep it, capture it, and then get rid of it at the end. All as a fully automated process, linking PowerShell, MDT, and Hyper-V together. We can then use MDT 2012 to do the deployment of the image from MDT itself, or we can integrate MDT 2012 with Config Manager 2007, Configuration Manager 2007 or 2012, and that gives extra features to Configuration Manager around deployment. It gives us the ability to do zero touch, gives us the ability to have user-driven installation, something that Config Manager, Configuration Manager doesn't typically allow us to do in zero touch. But we can present wizards to the user or to the technician to make changes to the deployment during a Configuration Manager deployment a task sequence run. So these are the things that MDT adds to Configuration Manager. But on its own, we can use it as an image engineering platform and an image deployment platform. So image engineering. It's typically for us, for Microsoft Services, this falls into two categories. It's either on-site, in which we use the Windows Automated Installation Kit in conjunction with MDT 2012 to do the image engineering, or we now have an off-site service that Microsoft offers called the Image Management Service, where we can order an image from a central team in Microsoft, a customized image with drivers and applications and things like that in. And it arrives on site already pre-built for us. And there's a subscription service that can be tied into that that allows that image to be updated on a regular basis by Microsoft. So it's kind of a Microsoft image, but we build it for you effectively, and we do that from a central service. So what I'm going to concentrate on today is much more around the on-site image engineering, the using MDT on-site to create custom images. So the image engineering process is pretty simple. Identify what you need in the image. Create an automated task sequence to build it. Sysprep it, capture it, and minimize the number of images that you need to produce. Typically, I see now two images in a corporate environment. I typically see an x86 image and an x64 image around deployment. If you can standardize on a single image, that's great, but customers I work with are still kind of dipping their toe in the water of the 64-bit environment, specifically from an application compatibility perspective. So traditionally, we see two. At the moment, we see two images, x86, x64. So the requirements for an image are typically that we tend to run through a kind of checklist that we have, which is a kind of list of tick boxes, right? Do you want x64 or x86? Do you want Office in the build? Do you want certain drivers for certain models? Do you want certain applications installing? So we run through a kind of checklist of these tick boxes, and then we look at things like how do you want to deploy that? Because as we go through the demonstrations, you'll see there are different ways that we can deploy the image. So we have to make decisions in the image engineering stage about what's going to happen when that image is deployed. And Office is a key one, so I'll cover that in a slide in a second. But the deployment mechanism is important when you're considering your image engineering requirements. Then what apps are going to be in there? My advice is keep it slim, keep it thin. We often see, if you're going to build an image, a custom image, we often see very small middleware applications put into the image. So things like .NET, C++ compilers, some customers put Flash and Shockwave and those kind of things into the image because they have specific learning management systems that have a requirement on a specific version of those programs. So you can put those in. I try and keep it as light as possible, but there's often between 8 and 15 applications that you would want to put into your image if you're going to build a custom image. You might want to put some branding in so the image is branded out of the box, so desktop wallpaper, certainly things like the OEM logo that you see in the computer properties. Maybe you want to change the logon wallpaper. Maybe you'll want to change the tiles that appear for a user to be something more corporate. Then we often see security standards being applied to an image. Work with a lot of customers where the image has to be secure as soon as it comes up out of SysPrep. So now with MDT 2012, we do have the capability to add local group policy to the image when it's being built. So we can use another solution accelerator, the Security Compliance Manager, to build a set of group policies that we then bolt into MDT to apply to the image when the image is being built. So we can have it secure right out of the image. And then finally, group policy design is also something we need to consider for the image. Are there settings that go into the security settings in the image? Are there settings that go into local policy? Or are these settings that we can move into the client group, group policy that is applied when the machine is built? So these are key questions about the engineering requirements of the image. All this leads to a kind of approved image design that fits together then with the other pieces of the deployment process. So this is my kind of diagram around your wedding cake of deployment, because when you're thinking about an image, when you're thinking about designing a master image, you really want to think about the client design. And when you're thinking about the client design, you want to think about how that client is being deployed. So they kind of chain onto each other. So this is the master image design. At the bottom layer, the core image layer, we have things like the operating system, hardware support for drivers that are not in the box. So these will be things for things like storage drivers and network drivers that are critical to make the operating system glue to a machine. You may add some core utilities, things like Flash, Shockwave, C++ compilers, .NET, as I mentioned before. You may add a firewall and AV client. I don't recommend that. I recommend that that's added later during the deployment process, but customers often want that in the image, so again, it's secure. Microsoft Office is an interesting one, and we'll come back to that one in a second. Do you put Office in the image installed fully? Do you not put Office in the image and install it during the deployment? Or there's a third option, and I will tell you about that shortly. So that's the kind of image layer at the bottom. Then we've got some dynamic adjustments that we have around driver injection, we have around language injection, and we have around business-specific policy and settings that may be applied by group policy. And then I tend to layer the applications that are applied during deployment on top of that as layers 2, 3, and 4. Layer 2 being the foundation layer applications that everybody gets. So these are applications that everybody in the organization gets. And if you haven't deployed things like Adobe Reader, Flash, Shockwave in your image, then that's the layer that those applications typically sit in. Then business layer applications, applications that are applied to a business unit, so things like SAP and business-dependent applications. And then finally, at the top of the cake, end-user applications. These are applications that may be targeted on a user-by-user or group-by-group basis. Does this ring true with everybody? Is this what you're kind of seeing in your own environments? Nod your head. Very cool. Okay. Yes. Yes.
What's the best practice there? I've heard it both ways.
So the question is, I've mentioned installing drivers into the image. The default position, it should be that you shouldn't install drivers into an image. But there may be occasions where you have to install a specific storage controller driver or a specific network driver. Without either of those two things, without being able to pull the image across the network through the network card and write the image to the disk through the storage controller, you're not going to be able to deploy. So in certain cases, there is a requirement to add a handful of drivers to the image. And typically, we do that using MDT's built-in functionality. We can add drivers into the MDT deployment share and have the task sequence apply them to the image before it's sys-prepped and captured. But it's a kind of... it's a gray area, and you really want to make sure that it's very limited, small set of drivers that are added. And the best advice is not to put any additional drivers into Windows 7 unless you absolutely have to.
So would that mean image creation in the virtual environment?
Yeah, so the question is, does that mean image creation in the virtual environment is the best practice? It is. So using a virtual machine as your reference device, building it, sys-prepping it, and capturing it, because it's clean, You don't get any driver issues. You're not getting any spillover from a physical machine you may have used to build it. Okay, so when I said think about the image, that's in relationship to how it's going to be deployed. So if you take a look at this slide, there's a lot going on here. If you just think about the client, which is highlighted in the center of the screen there, the built functional client, when all those layers have been put on top of each other, then this client is going to interact with a number of different things. In the lab, you're going to build the image. So you're going to use an MDT server and a client to build a custom image. That custom image can be then ported across to MDT to deployment, or it can be ported across to Configuration Manager for deployment. It's the same image that we deploy from whichever platform. You may choose then to deploy in different ways. You may choose to send your image, your custom image that you've image engineered, to an OEM and have it implemented into their manufacturing process so that machines, when they come into your organization, have the image already installed. You may decide to do an offline build where you place the image and supporting packages onto a DVD or a USB device to allow machines to be built when they're off the network or when they have very poor network connectivity. Or you may decide to distribute your images around to branch environments so you can do builds locally in smaller branches. So there's lots of bits that the image has to interact with. But then when the machine is built, there's a whole raft of services that it's going to consume. Active Directory, file and print, line of business apps, endpoint protection or any kind of AV product that you layer on top, remote access. All these things have to talk to back-end systems. This is why deployment is such a cool place to be, because deployment touches everything. It's the window onto everything. It's what the user sees onto everything. And when this Exchange guy says to me, Exchange is really cool, I say to them, yeah, but it's deployment that makes you look good. So, that's the key thing. When you're thinking about your image, think about how it's going to be deployed, and think about how it's going to interact with the environment that it finds itself in. There are options here for deployment. There are options here around online deployment, offline deployment. There are options about putting things into group policy rather than putting them into the image. There are options here around how you deploy your AV client, in the image or not in the image. So there's lots of interaction here with other pieces of the environment and the infrastructure. Content questions for the image. Question number one typically is 32-bit, 64-bit, or both. The tilt points for this are, do you have hardware models that support more than 4 gig of RAM? If you do, then typically you'll need a 64-bit image to access that additional memory. Do you need to run 16-bit applications? If you do, then you need a 32-bit image because you can't run 64-bit applications inside, 16-bit apps inside a 64-bit image. Do you have standard peripherals that need 64-bit drivers? Do you have software that requires 64-bit support? So a typical one we see at the moment is for the finance department or the trading floor of a big bank. They need 64-bit Excel. So typically we'd see that on 64-bit Windows. What about thick, thin, or hybrid? Thick image, thin image, hybrid image. Again, this tends to be down to how much time do you want to spend in the deployment phase? How much time do you want a machine to build for? If you can stomach a build that is 2 or 2.5 hours in length, then actually the image can be very, very thin. Or maybe not. You don't have to create an image at all. You're happy to deploy the custom Windows 7 image, layer on your hotfixes during deployment, install your applications during deployment, install your drivers during deployment, and do everything during deployment. If you can live with that length of time that it takes to build the machine. Now, applying hotfixes from an off-the-shelf, out-of-the-box Windows 7 image takes a while. You can spend 60 minutes applying hotfixes during the deployment. And that's why we often see images being created to bring it up to date with all the hotfixes that have been released. So the question is, why would you want to build a true thin image? What's the advantages of that? The main advantages that it's very easy to maintain. It tends to be an operational process. Every 3 months or 6 months, you'll build a new image, bring it up to date in terms of hot fixes and patches, and then that's all it has in it, and then you deploy that from that point onwards. And it takes, it's like a seesaw, right? You've got an image here, and as you go through time, we release hot fixes and patches, and actually when you get to a point, there's a point where actually you spend so much time patching the image during deployment that actually you'd save a whole raft of time if you just put them into the image. So that's where we see the kind of the thin image is a patched, ready to deploy image at a point in time. The thick image is where you can't do long deployments, where you've got to have a machine built in 30 minutes. You've got to have it ready for the user to log in, and you've got to have them working within an SLA of, say, 45 minutes. You can't do that with a thin image and a deployment. You've got to have things in the image. You've got to have applications already staged, because otherwise you've got to take time to install them. So that's really the kind of thick, thin. The hybrid is a little bit of a bit in between. And I'll talk a bit about hybrid when we talk about the office question. A hybrid is a combination of trying to keep it as thin as possible, but putting things in. And as I mentioned before, there's 10 or 15 things that you can put into an image that makes it a kind of hybrid image. A combination of, simple enough to be thinnish, but not completely thick. Yeah. Yes.
So are you talking about each time then you would go back to your base build and only then you create your image, only put in those required patches, so we don't get out of date patches?
Yeah, so the question is how you do patch management during deployment and image engineering. So typically, yes, we release patches every month. Typically the way that we work is that your deployment platform, whether that's Configuration Manager or MDT, can apply hotfixes during the deployment. So you don't have to create a new image every month. You could create a new image every 3 months or every 6 months or every 12 months and then have your deployment platform apply the patches when we release them during the deployment process. That makes things quite dynamic. What it means is, though, you'll get to a point where you've got 20, 30, 40, 50 patches in your deployment platform and they take time to deploy. So actually at that point, at that tilt point, that's the point where we typically go, well, let's create a new image with all those patches in and reset your deployment time back to kind of zero. Yeah, so the question is, do we always go back to the original media? Typically we do. We typically start with Windows 7 from the point of view of a Windows 7 SP1 image. Then we apply the patches to date. Then in 6 months' time, if we're going to do a new image, we tend to look at the images that we applied in the last 6 months, see which ones don't need to be, which have been deprecated, which ones have been added or released, and we make a new block of patches to go into that new image when we create it. Okay? Cool. All right, so then finally, deployment. How will the image be deployed? We have a number of deployment options here. We have we build new computers, that's machines without an operating system on. We have refresh, where a machine has an existing environment and we are wiping it and replacing it with Windows 7, or replace. And whichever of these deployment options you choose will have an impact or at least a decision point within the image engineering process. Also, are we going to use things like Zero Touch and Configuration Manager? The Office question is a bone of contention as well. Everybody needs Office, so why don't we just put it in the image, right? Everybody needs Office and everybody gets it in the same format, just put it in the image. That's okay, that works. But then that makes it a fat image because you've installed a major application within the image itself. What about deploying Office during deployment time, having MDT or Config Manager apply Office to the image as the image is being deployed as a normal application? Well, that works as well. The only issue with that is that's a big package. You know, Office 2010 SP1 is somewhere in the region of 1.2 gig. If you're downloading that to every machine you're deploying to, it's a large package. And it takes time to install if you're deploying it from that mechanism. One of the current recommended practices that I tend to favor is adding Office to the image as a local installation source only, as a LIS. You can do this with Office 2007 and 2010, and you run setup to just install the local installation source. You don't run the actual setup for the applications. What that does then is caches Office into your image. So you deliver Office source when you deliver the image to the machine you're building or deploying to. And then as part of the deployment process, we can reach in to that local installation source and kick off the Office installation from within there. And we can do some clever stuff, like we can drop an MSP file and a config file into that location and then run setup so we can customize the installation of Office. But it means we're delivering the source, the package, within the image itself, and we're taking advantage of the image mechanism, the image container, the compression that's in there with the image itself. So that's one of the mechanisms for deploying Office within the kind of deployment process. Quick question. I'm sorry? You still have the... Yes. So you still patch it, but your deployment platform, MDT or Config Manager in the Microsoft world, will patch Office for you as well. So again, there's a tilting point for Office around, but you can patch the Liz as well. So you can install Office as a local installation source and then patch the local installation source so it's up to date when it's deployed. Yeah, so the question is around, if it's just a standard installation across the enterprise, then you're saving time just by whacking it into the image as a completely installed application. That's absolutely right. But we find that, typically more so now, customers want to see different versions of Office for different sets of users. So the finance department, they don't need things like OneNote and that kind of thing. They want Excel and Word. Whereas the media department or the marketing department, they want PowerPoint. And so they want to kind of be able to customize the installation a little bit. And if you just do an image with Office, everybody gets the same. I'll just take one or two last questions and we need to move on. Hi there.
So here's the bad licensing question. So
I don't do licensing. There's experts here for that. Yeah, so the question is, how does this fall into a play from a licensing perspective? My understanding is, and I will caveat this with licensing is a black art, my understanding is that once you install Office as a Liz, you have consumed a license. So the question is, what do you lose by including it in the image? You don't lose very much, really. You can customize it later. So if you install it the same for everybody and you install it with all of the options, you can run setup again later to take things away, but that's kind of counterproductive from a time perspective. It's really about time for deployment. Can you live with the 10 or 12 minutes that it takes to install Office across a network with the package, if you've got a good network, or are you happier with the 3 or 4 minutes that it takes if you're installing it from the Liz, or are you happier with the no minutes if you install it fully in the image? So it's really a timing question of how long it takes to deploy as to how you deploy Office.
So why is it now, are you saying it's the best practice?
It's a current recommended practice to use a Liz-orientated deployment mechanism if you meet certain criteria. If you don't want to copy a large Office package to every machine, if you want a quick Office install, if those things are tick boxes for you, then yes, Liz in the image is a way to go. If you can live with everybody getting exactly the same Office, then install Office fully in the image. If you want to customize Office and you can live with the amount of time that it takes to download and install, put it in a package and deploy it with Configuration Manager. So there's different options for Office, but if you are doing image engineering and you're going down the path of engineering an image with Windows 7, then these are your options for Office. Okay? Cool. All right, let's move on. So, image engineering process. We've got an MDT server. We build a reference client. It installs a vanilla operating system. We make some customizations. We install some core apps, some core utilities. We do a little bit of branding. We sprinkle a little bit of magic. and then we sysprep and capture it back as an image. The process is pretty simple with using MDT. We create a deployment share in the MDT environment. We stock it with a whole bunch of source material, so the operating system. So this is a vanilla operating system from the DVD, the enterprise operating system. We add applications to MDT. We add packages, so updates, hotfixes, languages, and drivers, any drivers we need, we can add into MDT. We then build a task sequence for creating that image, creating that machine. We can make some changes to a file called custom settings.ini within MDT to configure how the image is built. And then we build it, sysprep it, and capture it back to the MDT server as an image. And actually, if you get this pretty automated and pretty slick, it can be a kind of one button, press the button and walk away kind of operation. And actually, this is the best way to do it, because if you're going to build images on a regular basis, you'll want a consistent platform to be able to do that from. You'll want to make sure your image is consistent every time. I still see customers who every 3 months sit with a big stack of CDs and a big document and walk through and manually build images. We really don't want to be doing that anymore. We need a way to kind of automate this in a consistent process. So let's take a look at the image engineering environment using MDT. So here on my MDT server, I have MDT set up. I have two distribution shares that I've configured. We've got one here for image engineering. And when I've engineered my image, I'm going to bring it back into this deployment share to deploy it to machines. Because this deployment share is really interested in just creating an image and sysprepping it and capturing it back to the server. Whereas this deployment share is really... it's looking to do the deployment of that custom image and do things to the image during deployment time. So it's kind of a different task sequence and a different set of settings. So I'm going to deal with this one first, the image engineering task sequence. So for those of you who haven't seen MDT before, it's based up of a number of nodes, the applications node, the operating systems node, the out-of-box drivers node, packages, task sequences, etc. Now, what I've done, what I tend to do with mine as a kind of current recommended practice is I create folders within my image engineering share to put all the things in, to keep everything. I'm a kind of logical, tidy sort of guy. I like to hoover and polish. So I kind of keep things in order. So I've created some folders in the MDT, and that's quite an easy thing. You can just click on the node, create a new folder, and then you can create a folder tree within MDT to put things into. These are not folders in the operating system. They're logical folders or pretend folders within the MDT interface for grouping things together. So I've got a bunch of applications that I want to add to my image. I've got some operating system files here. I've got the Windows 7, X64, and X86 vanilla off the DVD SP1 version of Windows 7. So that's my kind of base start point. I've got some drivers, so some x86 drivers, x64 drivers. And drivers for Windows PE are also important. This is also a place where you want to put those storage and network drivers that are critical. Otherwise, when you boot a machine using the boot image that MDT creates, if it hasn't got the correct driver for the network card, it's not going to be able to connect back and do the rest of the deployment. So it's kind of critical that you add drivers as required to Windows PE as well. But MDT kind of helps you with that. So we basically, all of these folders, once you've created them, is just a case of, you know, I've created some subfolders as well for different manufacturers. And then it's just a case of kind of right-clicking and doing import drivers and then pointing MDT 2012 at a folder full of drivers, and it will just suck all those drivers into the environment. There we go. So I can point it at a folder structure with a load of drivers in, and MDT will take care of importing those drivers into this folder structure, and then tasks in the task sequence will apply those drivers during the build process. And you can use that for both image engineering and deployment, right? So you can stage different sets of drivers in the image engineering share and different sets of drivers in the deployment share. In fact, your drivers for the deployment share should be quite large. When you're deploying machines, depending on how many machine types you're deploying to, there should be a lot of drivers in there. Don't put them in the image. Packages are things like language packs and OS patches. So here is where I would add in my current patches, the set of patches that have been released since SP1. I would import them into here, add them to this folder, and there's a task in the task sequence that then applies them one by one during the deployment process. So again, MDT hides you from this complexity. If you didn't do it this way, you'd have to run DSM commands for every single driver that you wanted to inject, or you'd have to run the setup installation for that driver. This way, when we import them into MDT, MDT takes care of staging them and applying them during the deployment of, in this case, an image when we're doing the image engineering. I've also created a couple of task sequences, one to create a Windows 7 x64, and one to create a Windows 7 x86. So I'm going to show you this task sequence. It's the x86 task sequence. A couple of things to notice here. One of the things that you may want to do as part of your image engineering process, and notice the way I am talking about image engineering as this stuff here and image deployment as this stuff here. So during your image engineering processes, you may want to do things like tattoo the registry with information about your image, the version of the image you've created, the date it was created, what type of machine it was created on, what type of task sequence, what was the name of the task sequence that was used. This is a very important field on this page. We can use this to version our image because this information can be taken and written into the registry of our image. So I would, as another current recommended practice, I would say to you, use this field, fill it in, change it every time you make a new image, and it will write this information into a registry key, and I'll show you that a little bit later. The task sequence itself is a simple thing. MDT 2012 ships with a number of task sequence templates. And what I do for image engineering purposes is I just take the standard out-of-the-box client deployment task sequence, and then I strip out all of the things that I don't need for doing image engineering. So the standard client task sequence has things like USMT. It has things like dealing with refresh and replace machines. I don't need all that when I'm doing image engineering, so I strip all of those tasks out of the task sequence. But this is a standard off-the-shelf client task sequence, and I can show you how that's kind of done. When we go into the task sequence folder here, we can right-click and do new task sequence, give it an ID and a name, and then I get to select a template that ships with MDT 2012. So I just pick, for image engineering, I typically start with the standard client task sequence, and then I engineer that accordingly. So here's my task sequence. Let me show you around this a little bit. This is a kind of standard task sequence. The first thing to notice is, at the top, we've taken out a bunch of stuff from the standard client task sequence. We create a single partition for image engineering, typically, because you're capturing an image, and the tools that we use for capturing an image only capture one partition. So we tend to just build one partition on the reference machine that is being created as a reference device. There's no point creating a D drive unless you're going to run ImageX again to capture another partition. We don't really tend to deploy multiple partitions. We tend to create an image as a single partition, and then during deployment, we can create multiple partitions with the deployment process and then add the image to the first partition. Does that make sense? Went around it a bit of a long way there, but the idea is we just want to build the C drive, create it, customize it, sysprep it, and then capture it as an image. One of the things I've also added that I typically add as a kind of recommended practice is we have here a custom image tattoo script. This script runs during the image engineering process, and it takes a number of variables that are in MDT and writes them into the registry. So that version ID that I showed you on the first page, it grabs that from MDT and writes it into the registry. And in fact, the standard out-of-the-box client task sequence has that script built into it. I've just adapted it slightly. But the script is already there. So that's why I say it's important to fill that field in so you can version your images. I've then added a bunch of custom tasks that run during the image process. So I've got things here like scripts that adjust the Windows customization. So in this case, this script will do things like it cleans the start menu, it removes things from the desktop, it deletes things from the sample pictures folder. So these are kind of tasks that you may want to do during your image engineering process to be customized for your environment. A lot of these scripts that I'm showing you here, we've released or are in the process of releasing through our Deployment Guys blog site. So if you've not been to that before, it's a TechNet blog. So it's blogs.technet.com/deployment-guys. And you'll find a lot of these scripts that we use during image engineering up there available for you to download and use. As we are creating an image, we want to maybe set things like recovery options. In this case, this sets the OS recovery options via a script. We disable file sharing, we enable remote desktop, we set the page file size. Again, this is another script that runs during the deployment process from this task. It takes a couple of command line inputs and sets the page file to be 2 gig, 2 gig, so we don't have fragmentation of the page file. Set system restore percentage, adjust the event log size. So that's what I call kind of basic OS configurations that go into the image. Application installs, here you see Office. Got four options for Office. We can install Office as a full install, in which case there's a single application install here for installing Office fully. We can install Office as a local installation source, which means that the image will have the LIS staged, and we've got a task for doing that. Then we've got some other options. We've got a number of tasks here that will install Office. Not install Office, but it will install the components you need to support Office if you want to run it virtually as an app V package. So it installs a deployment toolkit for Office virtualization. It installs the app V client. And then finally, if you're signing up to Office 365, you'll want to deploy the subscription version of Office 2010 rather than the volume license version. So we have some tasks here for doing the choice of installing Office 365 components. So Link, Sign-in Assistant, the Pro Plus subscription version of Office, and any Office 365 updates that are applied. So again, we cover this in the blog, but the idea here is to automate everything, even if you are using the Office 365 versions of components. We can add them to the image. I'll show you in a second how we choose between which one of these is used during the process of running this task sequence. Then I've got a branding script that changes things like the wallpaper, the desktop background, the login desktop, the OEM logo. Again, we've blogged all of this, so it's up there. And then finally, we've got some new stuff in MDT 2012. We have this option, this new script, this new task, for deploying a group policy pack that is generated by the Security Configuration Manager Solution Accelerator. So if you've played with SCM, you can create group policy packs of settings, and then you can bolt them into MDT, and this task will apply them to your image so that they're built, but they're baked into the image. So if you've got certain security requirements, you can bake those into your image now quite easily. Is it what, sorry? So the question is it applying a local security template? That's correct. It's created, the Security Compliance Manager will back up your group policy settings into a template that you then put into a specific place in MDT, and that task will find it and apply those settings to the local group policy within the image. Then you've got tasks at the end for sysprepping the machine and then capturing it as an image. Now, the control of all of this task sequence is done through a file called custom-settings.ini. And if I go into the property of the task sequence at the top here, take a look at this rules file. This rules file controls lots of things during the deployment process, and you can think of it like a variables list. You've got a bunch of variables in MDT that you can set to true or false, or yes or no, and it will have an impact on what is run during the deployment process and what settings are used. Now, during image creation, this is useful for setting a base set of image settings inside your image, so locale, keyboard, time zone, that kind of thing. If you are predominantly in one area, say the US, you might want your image to be predominantly US. I work with a lot of customers that are predominantly in the UK, So I've added the settings in here to make the image that I create for them UK specific. So UK keyboard, UK time zone, UK locale. MDT has all these settings built in. You've just got to flick them on and off and put the right settings in. The way that MDT works is it takes these variables and brings them down to the device that's being built, and then they're used during the deployment process to fire different things in the task sequence or to add different settings to the N10 file so that Windows is changed. One of the features that we've added here as well is if we go down to the bottom of this, you can see here we've got a variable that we've created called Office Version and Office Solution. And it's very easy to add your own variables to MDT. You just specify them at the top of this file. You add them in, you declare the variable you want to use up here, and then you give it a value down here. It's very simple to add to expand MDT's variable list. What we can then do is use this variable, so Office Version equals Office 2010, Office Solution equals Office List. So if I go back to my task sequence, within the task sequence in MDT, I can go in and I can add that variable. So here where I'm installing my applications, here on the first folder, there's a task sequence variable that says, if Office Version equals Office 2010, run the things that are in this folder. And then each of these folders underneath has its own variable set. So actually, the only one that's going to run is this one, because the custom-settings.ini file has the Office Solution set to Office Liz. If I had set it to Office Full, it would run the one above. If I had set it for Office 365, it would run the one at the bottom. But I've added a number of different options here in this folder structure that are switched on and off by a setting in the custom settings.ini file. Does that make sense to everybody? Cool. Okay. Now, MDT will also create for you, by right-clicking and doing update deployment point, it will create the boot images needed to start the deployment process. It will create them as an ISO, so you can boot a virtual machine from it. It will create it as a WIM file, so you can put it into Windows Deployment Services to boot from that from the network. So it will give you a number of different options. What MDT also gives you the ability to do in the Windows PE tab is I can add additional files to Windows PE, and I can add a new background to branding to Windows PE. And I can choose the kind of the options that are baked into that boot image. So what MDT is doing here is it's taking the Windows PE source that's provided in the Windows Automated Installation Kit, providing you a nice interface for you to change stuff, and then baking a boot image for you to start the deployment process or the image engineering process. Which is really cool if you think about it, because otherwise you'd have to go off and learn a whole bunch of DISM commands to do the same thing. So a lot of customers I know just use this bit for creating boot images. They use MDT to create boot images using this interface. And you can create x64 and x86 boot images with MDT. So let me show you what that now looks like from the flip side. Let me show you what that looks like from the point of view of the client being built. Here's my reference client. Here's the virtual machine that I'm going to build, sysprep, and capture as an image. You can see that I'm seeing two task sequences available, x64 and x86. The reason I'm seeing this wizard, this task sequence wizard, is because in the custom settings.ini file within MDT, I've got all these wizards set to no, which means they'll be they're skip wizard commands or variables, and they're all set to yes or no. If it's set to yes, I don't see the wizard pane. If it's set to no, I see the wizard pane. So a lot of people get confused over this, especially when they're using MDT to do image engineering. Why do you need all these wizards? Right? You don't. Actually, when you've got all your settings correct in this file, you can turn all the wizards off for image engineering. When you're doing image deployment, well, that's another question, right? When you're doing image deployment, you may want the user or technician doing the deployment to change the keyboard or the locale or the name of the computer or enable BitLocker. Actually, these, the wizards are very useful when you're doing deployment, Not so useful when you're doing image engineering. But I just wanted to show you them and how you control whether they're switched on or switched off. So at the moment, a number of wizards are switched on, so I can show them to you. So first one I'm seeing is the task sequence. I can see the x64, x86. I can input the computer name. But actually, this computer name is already filled in for me. Why? Because if you take a look back at the custom settings.ini file, and I go down to here, you'll see I've set a variable called computer name. So the wizard has pulled that setting from the custom settings.ini file and presented it to me. Now, I can change that if I want to. And during deployment, you probably would change the computer name. But during image engineering, there's no real need. I'm just showing you the wizard from a kind of this is what you can do perspective. Add the product key, change the locale and time, change the local admin password, capture an image. Now, this is interesting. We're going to capture an image to this location, and we're going to call it this. Again, you can see these variables in the wizard because in the custom settings.ini file, I have set them already. So in the settings for this file, I have said I want you to capture an image of this machine. So do capture equals yes. So certain tasks will fire in the task sequence. I want you to store the image in this location, in this folder, and then it will be called, the image will be called the same name that the task sequence has. But because I'm firing the wizard, because you're seeing the wizard, I could actually change this. And we will change this to, let's just change it to MMS, Win7 x86 image. Click next. We then got a bunch of options that we've set for this, and now I can click begin. And you'll see that the task sequence will now run, starts to gather information, starts to use the variables, we'll format the disk, we'll wipe the drive, and we'll go through those sets of tasks that I've got in my task sequence for building this machine, sys prepping it, and then capturing it back to my MDT server as an image. Through the power of Hyper-V, let me jump forward a little bit. So let's jump forward to the point where the operating system is installed. So we'll apply that. And there we go. Through the magic of Hyper-V, we've jumped forward in time. If only all deployments were this quick. We've jumped forward in time to the point where the operating system has been deployed. The operating system piece has been installed. So this is a vanilla operating system on the... we haven't applied yet. That's not good, is it? Let's try that again. Oh, that's the wrong one. I want it to be on this one. That's why. So we'll apply that. And we'll launch this. What we should see is the point where the operating system has been applied to the virtual machine, and we pick up the task sequence again and start doing the customizations that we've got. So it just takes a second or so for this to start. Hopefully. Whenever you're ready. Yeah. Yeah. Not really. No, the Windows System Image Manager is the best tool to do that with because it kind of gives you an interface onto all the blocks in the file. And yeah, so in the Windows Automated Installation Kit, there's a sample and a 10 file that is kind of a current starting place. A wizard editor that supports 2012, I think it's on its way. It'll be coming, but I'm not sure it's there yet. The current wizard editor will allow you to do some editing of the wizards that are in 2012. But I think there's some slight tweaks that Mike still needs to make. We've worked on it for the last 2 or 3 years. It's up on Codeplex. So there is a wizard editor up on Codeplex for changing those wizards that you get at the beginning of the deployment process. You can edit those. So if you look on Codeplex, you'll find the wizard editor there. So you'll see that the operating system has been installed. We have now picked up the task sequence. It's applying the kind of post-install. So if I go back to my kind of my task sequence here, on my server and show you where we're at. We're sort of, in task sequence for this image, we're sort of around about here. In fact, we are here. We're applying updates before applications are installed. So we do this twice in an image. We apply the updates at when we've installed the operating system. We run through the tasks for installing apps, and then we run the update again to apply any updates for any apps that we may have installed, like Office. So we do it twice, once at the beginning of the image process and once at the end to make sure we get a full list of patches applied. So what we can do now is jump forward again to a point where we have applied all of those tasks. We've added the tasks in. We have run through them. You can see I've customized the login page with a nice MMS-branded login page. We've customized things like the desktop wallpaper, the start menu. We've taken some of the pinned options off the taskbar. We've added a new wallpaper. I've added a new theme. If you take a look at the computer settings, I've cleaned the start menu. I've added a new icon for the logon user. If you take a look at the properties, of the computer, I have changed the OEM logo here for something more corporate. I've changed the manufacturer information. You can also bubble up, you know, that version information that's written into the registry? You could bubble that up into here, into this interface as well, so a user could identify the image they're running. You can obviously use WMI to query that registry key to figure out how many machines are running version 1 of your image, version 2 of your image, version 3 of your image. That's really useful stuff. And you can see that we're now sysprepping the machine, and we're going to then boot into Windows PE, and we're going to capture it as an image. Alrighty, so now I have an image. Let's stop that. So back on my server, in the deployment share, so this deployment share is stored in DWin7SP, so let's go to DWin7SP. And in here I have my captures folder. There's the folder that I told the image capture process to create. And there is my WIM file. Actually, I renamed it so we wouldn't overwrite it. So it should look like that. So that is my captured, customized, sysprepped image that the task sequence has built for me with all my customizations and all that kind of stuff. Are you with me so far? Okay, so we now have an image. And what I've done is I've set up a new deployment share, and I have imported that custom image that I've just created into this new deployment share. What that now actually means is I can create a new task sequence to deploy that image. Okay? So now I have a new task sequence to deploy the image. You can see this is the standard out-of-the-box client deployment task sequence. So it has things like dealing with refreshes. It has things like dealing with new computer installs, refresh installs. We do things like disable BitLocker. We run USMT to capture user state and user settings. So these are all good things you should have in your deployment process, because you want to do those things. You want to refresh Windows XP machines. You'll want to refresh Windows Vista machines. You'll want to rebuild Windows 7 machines. But you'll want to take all the settings that are on that machine that are user-specific, user data, and preserve those through the process. And that's what this task sequence will do. We also then have a few simple tasks. We have a deployment script. Remember I said you've got a script that runs a set of commands that tattoos the registry with image information. This is the counterscript to that, the script that tattoos the registry with deployment information. So where you've got image information around image version, when the image was created, what was the machine it was created on, what was the task sequence that was used, we can have exactly the same information in the deployment process. When was this machine deployed? What task sequence deployed it? What time and date was it deployed? So we can capture all that information in the registry and then use it later to apply updates to that machine if you're using something like Configuration Manager. And I'll show you this when the machine's built. Remember what we did in the image with Office? How did we install Office when I did the image engineering piece? We chose to install it as a LIS. So therefore, sitting in the image, in the C:\MSO cache hidden folder, is the local installation source for Office. Right? So I'm going to reach in to that source and run setup from a folder that's in there. Right? That's what I'm going to do. However, I do want to make some customizations to that. So what I've done for this task is I've written a little script. So this task runs a little script, and I'll show you what it does. In my deployment share, I've set up an application. What I've done is I created a little application here with a script and an updates folder. And in the updates folder, I put config.xml and pro plus MSP files. These are the files that control how Office is installed. They control what's installed and how Office is installed. Now, what ideally I want to do is copy those files from the server to the LIS before I run setup, right? Because that way, I can just make different copies of these files for different sets of users, drop them into the right place at deployment time, and then run setup with those configurations. So that's what this script does. All this script actually does is it runs a set of commands to copy down those two files from the updates folder, and then it runs setup. That's all it does. And that gives me the capability of changing the Office deployment from within the LIS. So the source is all there, but I can change the way Office is deployed at deployment time. And that gives me a great deal of flexibility in the deployment process. One of the other things that I typically add, when I go into work with customers on deployment engagements, I'm typically doing it in pilots and POCs, proof of concepts. So I've got another script here that adds a bunch of icons to the desktop. And these icons link back to SharePoint sites. So you, again, think about other ways of doing your deployments. I typically set up a SharePoint site when I'm working on a deployment where customers can put training materials. And I create a form in SharePoint for pilot users to give feedback. And I use that as a mechanism during pilots and proof of concepts for getting users to feed back information into the process. So this script creates a bunch of desktop icons for the user who's on a POC or a pilot to be able to feed back into the process. And I'll show you those as we kind of do this build. And that's pretty much it, really. It's a very simple task sequence. You can also add a number of steps in here to install different layers of applications, different sets of installation products that you want to install. But it's quite a simple one. So let's take a look at what that looks like from a client perspective. So here's a machine, a new machine. So it's been running for a while. You can see that it's got the customizations that I added to the image. It's got the desktop wallpaper. You can see the script that's currently running to install Office. So Office is being installed from the LIS, but the script has run. It's copied down the configuration files for Office, and it's run setup from that location. So we're running setup locally with the configuration scripts to install Office differently, all from within the local hard disk. We're not copying a big Office package down. So we've got all of the customizations that we've configured in the image. We've got Office installed. We've got the feedback icons being put on the desktop now. The reason I typically do this during deployment and not during image creation, I don't put these desktop icons on the image into the image itself, is because the SharePoint site might change, right? And we don't want to have to create a new image because the SharePoint site has changed. So by adding them as a script during the deployment process, I can change that script for a different path for the icons. And therefore, when the customer says, we don't want to go to this SharePoint site anymore, we want to go to this one, it's a very simple process to change this. Here we go with the deployment summary. It's a successful summary. We've got no errors, which is good. White background is good. If it's yellow or red, that means something didn't work. Click Finish, and I now have a built deployed machine. So let me show you a couple of things in here. So here's my icons that I've added to the desktop. I've added a shortcut to an applications library in Configuration Manager, and a shortcut to a report issues form in SharePoint, a shortcut to a pilot support site in SharePoint, and this is a good one to add to your user's desktop, a shortcut to the problem steps recorder in Windows 7. Have them record their issues and attach it to the SharePoint form that they fill in when they're giving feedback. It kind of takes a snapshot of what they're doing when they have an issue, and it's a good way to get feedback. Remember I mentioned about the registry? Let's take a look at the registry on this machine. So in the registry, in local machine software, I've created a folder here called MDTSP, and in there I've got client deploy and client image. So these are all of the bits of information that I wrote to the registry during my image engineering process. The language I use, the task sequence ID, the timestamp, the image creation version that I showed you earlier. And then here's all the stuff that I wrote when this machine was deployed, the time it was deployed, the task sequence that was used to deploy it. All this is really cool information for you to make future decisions about what you do to this machine now it's built. You know the version of the image. You know when it was deployed. You can gather that information with Config Manager and then have Config Manager or MDT make decisions based on these settings. So now I have a built, customized image and a deployment process for pushing those images out. Alrighty. So let me just summarize what we've seen here. From a client deployment process, the client deployment process itself can be has to take into account a number of different variables, whether we're deploying to a new computer, in a fully automated manner, we have a number of steps, or whether we are deploying to a machine that has existing operating systems installed. We have things like user state migration to deal with, settings, data to be migrated. The task sequence templates within MDT 2012 will deal with all of this for you. And if you implement MDT with Configuration Manager, those task sequence templates will move across into Config Manager and give you those settings as well. So it's a great way to start if you want to do refreshes and replace scenarios on machines, is to use the templates that come in the box with MDT. We went through this process of taking the custom image, of applying it to a machine and dynamically changing it during deployment, and then installing applications, installing settings, installing changes to the machine. The process was very simple. We created a deployment share. We imported the image that we created in the first part of the demonstration, the image engineering process. We added some apps. We added some packages. We added some drivers. We created a deployment task sequence. We configured the properties in custom-settings.ini, and then we ran the task sequence on a device. So that's what we saw in that demonstration. We've gone from image engineering to importing it back into MDT and deploying it with a new task sequence. In summary, these are the kind of current recommended practices. Use MDT 2012 to generate your image. If you are going to do image engineering, it is much easier and much quicker and much more consistent to use MDT to do that. Don't try and use Configuration Manager 2007 or 2012 to do image engineering. It's very complicated because Config Manager runs in the context of the system when it's deploying. MDT runs in the context of the local administrator. And our current recommended practice around customizations is we customize the admin profile, and then when we run sysprep, we copy across the settings to the default user profile. And that's our recommended supported way of doing customizations to a Windows image. If you try and do that in Configuration Manager, it's very difficult because you're not running as the administrator. You're running in the context of the system. And therefore, you have to do all sorts of unsupported hacks to mount registry keys and make changes and things like that. So the main thing to take away, if you're doing image engineering and you want to create custom, consistent images, use MDT 2012 to do that. Add limited applications, add limited utilities, add very limited drivers, add updates to the point you are creating your image, and then fire off your image engineering process. You end up with a WIM, bring it back into your deployment process for deployment, whether that's MDT, whether it's Configuration Manager. Both of those platforms will do deployment. Both of those platforms will do online deployment. Both of those platforms will do offline deployment. Both of those platforms will do refresh, replace, wizard-driven installations. So you have the tools there to do any kind of deployment using these platforms. And then layer in your requirements. Do a design that has a base image, but then layers things on top. So you've got complete flexibility about changing things, particularly around adding drivers, applications, things that would change in an image. One of the reasons, going back to the question earlier about why have a thin image, is because if you put lots of things in the image, lots of applications, lots of things, you'll have to go back and change them more often. As an application is revved or released or a new one goes back, that's a reason you have to go back and redevelop your image. So by having them as something that's layered on afterwards during the deployment process, you can change that very easily. You can unbolt version 1 and bolt in version 2 of an application, and then the next time the task sequence runs to deploy, we install the new version of the application. So think about how you layer things on top of each other and go for this kind of layered approach. We've got some other sessions running this week. There's lots of MDT 2012 sessions. Across the week, predominantly today and Thursday, we're running a whole set of Windows 7 deployment MDT 2012 instructor-led labs, and you'll find most of the deployment guys in there. Come along, sit down, and kind of work through this stuff, and we'll answer any questions you have. Please complete your session evaluation. It's great to get your feedback, and it does adapt how these sessions are run and how we present them. And this session will be available, I think, between 24 and 48 hours after the end of the session today. It'll be available online for you to review after the event. Just leaves me to thank you very much for spending your time with me today. Great session. Thanks for coming, and have a great rest of the show. Thank you.